All right. Good morning. My name's Jonathan. I'm just honored to be on this team. I get to work with the three amigos, Josh and Johnny. Incredible. Incredibly honored. And well beyond that, so many of you are so involved in helping make Living Vine what it is. I want to say something. Please look at me. You don't get to pull that off very often. So it's like, God loves you. He loves you, and he sees you like no one else sees you. And nobody's probably said that to you. No, you didn't leave work and somebody say, oh, hey, by the way, Jesus is in love with you, and he adores you. So if you haven't heard that all week, you've heard it now. You've heard it said, and it's true. And we are grateful that you've come to be a part of what we're doing this morning, grateful for what God's doing at Living Vine. I have a few announcements, so I have to step into a character that I'm reluctant about, and that's the announcement guy, okay? So I have a few things. I've actually tried to make some notes so I don't forget. So help me, please. All right, first of all, we have something exciting coming up in 2 weeks. September 21st is Founders Day. Now, what is Founders Day? It is our celebration, get ready, for our one-year anniversary as a church. Help me out here. Yes, yes. Now, before I forget, what we need from you, we're going to have a fellowship afterwards, and if you've been around, you know what I'm about to say, right? We're going to provide the chicken. You provide the side, so pick a side or a dessert. Who wants to be the dessert side? Okay, desserts are over here, sides are over here. I really don't care if that changes. Some people are like, don't change your seat. Just bring something, okay? Bring a side, bring a dessert. We're going to have a good time, and we are going to celebrate. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great morning to just praise God for what he's done, a time of worship, celebration, prayer, and praise. And so another key part of what we're going to do as we step into this new season as a church, we're inviting you to officially join us and step into this. And so we want to ask you and invite you to consider being a member of Living Vine Community Church. What we're going to be doing in the next couple of days is we're going to be sending out some information. That information is basically just saying, here is what we believe. Here's what we believe matters most. Here's what we want to be on the same page with you about. We want you to be on the same page with us about. Both theologically and practically, here's who we are as a church, and here's what we're inviting you to step into. So you'll be getting information about that. If you're not on the email list, please, just go click on, there's a URL code, go to the back and get connected, okay? All right, getting there. All right, life group. Some of you are like, I'm not in a life group yet. What do I do? Hey, we are still trying to sort that out. If you are interested in being a life group leader, please come see me or Josh or Johnny. Let us know so we can get some new life group formed and get you into it. Don't sweat it. You know when your life group starts? You know when you get into the material is when you all get together and get going. So we will be starting. Some groups are starting now, but we'll be starting new groups over the next couple weeks, so don't sweat that. All right, now, here we go. We are in a series called The Gospel-Centered Life, and today we are going to be focused on the heart. So if you will, before we step into this passage, let's just step into prayer. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your word. More importantly, we thank you that you've kept your word. And that's what blows my mind. This is not just words of wisdom to walk in. This is words of life. We would be nothing without you. And so we thank you that you've kept your word. And so we step into that today confident that you have kept your word and your promises are true. And we are not the same because of it. So, Lord, you're not dependent on us. It's just the other way around. And so we lean into you today and into your word, and we ask, Spirit, that you would move and shape our hearts today, and revive our hearts today, and lead us. We love you. Amen. All right, so Ezekiel 36, verse 25 through 27. All right, and I'm going to actually be reading out of the New Living Translation. It's not much different, but if you want to read along or look along with us on the screen, here we go. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away. You will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart." Oh, man. "And give you a tender, responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." So this morning, we are talking about the heart. When we talk about the heart, that represents what matters most to us, what we value above and beyond anything else. It's who we value. It's what we value. You might say it's just what we love. It's who we love above and beyond anyone else. It's what we've attached ourselves to at the core of our very being. It is what we love. It is who we love. And sometimes those loves go even above and beyond God. We place something else where God belongs. Here's the question, and we're just going to prime the pump today. What do you love? What matters most to you? Here's a few questions. They're simple. Just to tee this up, when you have spare time, that eliminates a lot of you. So in your time, what are you dreaming about? What are you thinking about? What do you spend? What is your mind moving towards on a regular basis? Do you come back to a particular dream you have in mind? What about your devices? What would Google search tell me you love the most? What would Instagram algorithm, proud of me, I'm just technology, don't know what it is, but Thomas, amen. All right, old dog, new trick. Okay, what would the Instagram algorithm say matters most to you? What about your money? Where do you invest it? Where do you spend it? Who do you share it with? Your time, where do you invest it? Where do you spend it? How do you share it? These are just a few things, just teeing it up. Here's something I realized in my own life. Whatever I love the most, what I am attached to is forming me. It's forming me. It's actually having a forming effect over my entire life. And here's what I mean by that. I'll give you a simple example. On special days at our house, special mornings smell like biscuits and bacon. I hate to do that to you. Biscuits and bacon. You can smell it. These biscuits are not shaped. We're not a normal house, if you haven't figured that out by now. They're not round. They're not like, they're going to be in shape. Sawyer has found all the cookie cutter shapes, and they're usually in the shape of a Labrador upright. They're literally dog biscuits, y'all. They're shaped like dogs. Now, follow me here. The biscuit batter, would you say, is it batter, is it dough, whatever, it's pliable, right? It's pliable. You put it into the mold, and that's what happens. It becomes whatever it is. And here's the deal. We say this a lot. I'm pouring myself into, you fill in the blank. I'm pouring myself into work project. I'm pouring myself into something at the house, the garden, the garage. I'm pouring myself into homework. Whatever it is, I'm pouring myself into a book. We pour ourselves into things. We pour ourselves mostly into the things we love the most. And guess what happens? We throw it in the oven of life. It goes into the oven. Set on what? 425? 450? 425? 375. Thanks for the feedback. Let me... Well, whatever temperature, have you ever left them in too long? Ever left them in too long? Do you know what a biscuit's like if it's been left in twice as long as it should be? It's hockey puck. That's right. I love it, man. I feel like I'm in student ministry. Yeah, this is great. Yes, it is. It is hard as a rock, right? It's no longer pliable. It's become like a stone. Like stuff comes out of the oven. We pour ourselves into things. It comes out of the oven, and sometimes we look at it and we don't like what we see, right? We're like, I'm not too crazy about that. I'm not so sure this is what I've been going after. And you look at it, there are places in our lives, I know for me, for sure, I look and I'm like, man, that's hard as a rock. I'm not sure how that will ever change, how it could ever change. In fact, let's be honest, we look at some parts of our lives and like, you know what? It's actually truly going to take a miracle to ever see this be transformed. Do you ever feel like that? If that's you right now, let me tell you, there's hope. There's hope for you today, in fact. See, we are shaped most, this is Augustine, we are shaped most not by what we think, not by what we do, but what we love. Let me say that again. We are shaped most not by what we think and not by what we do, but what we love. Now hear me, he's not saying we're not supposed to think. He's not saying it's not important what we think and learn at all. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is we just can't act on it until it becomes the fuel that the engine of our heart is burning, until it gets down into the core of our very being. It's really impossible to take what we know to be right and true and really apply it and do anything with it. Jim Murphy summarizes it like this: our heart, what we love, governs our actions and the directions of our lives. It governs our actions and the directions of our lives. What we love the most at any given moment, hear this, controls our lives at that moment. So it governs our actions. It directs our lives. What we love the most at any given moment controls our life in that moment. You feel like that sometimes. Yeah, it was in the moment. I said it in the moment. You're like, what did I do? How did I do what I didn't want to do? Does that sound familiar? The compass is broken, my friends. You ever see Pirates of the Caribbean? The compass is never working right. It's broken. It's actually cursed. It spins. It pins. There's no true north. It's not reliable. In fact, the only thing you can rely on is what it's going to do is whoever's holding it. It spins and it points to what they desire most at the time. You're like, oh, I didn't even, that's what's happening with that compass. It only moves in the direction of the desires the person has in their heart at that time. That's a picture of us. The compass is broken. Sin has laid waste to our navigation system. We are lost. We don't know how to get back home. Our hearts have been deceitful. Our desires have been misplaced. The needle is pointing not to where we need to go, but where we want to go. That's what this is all about. The needle is pointing to where we want to go, not where we need to go. And that can be pretty exhausting. David Foster Wallace, very complex individual. He was also working through his faith, and it was pretty complex, but he nails it on the head here. Here's what he says. We all worship something. We worship. It's what we love the most. So it's what we love the most. He says, be careful what you choose to love the most. In fact, he says, if it's not God, it will eat you alive. Be careful what you choose to love the most, because if it's not God, it will eat you alive. And he fleshes this out. He says it like this: if you love money and things, you will never have enough. You will never feel like you have enough. Love your own body, beauty, and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before you finally get planted in the ground. Love power, and you'll feel weak and afraid, and you'll need power over others to keep fear at bay. Love your intellect. Being seen as smart, you'll end up feeling stupid, a fraud, fearing being found out. And I love this part. He says, and so on. He's like, I think I proved my point. And so on. Be careful what you choose to love, because it will eat you alive. Our navigational systems are down. We've been misguided. We pour our hearts, our desires, our affections into things that eat us alive. Do you feel like that right now? You feel like, man, I feel consumed by, you fill in the blank. I feel consumed by, you fill in the blank. What started out as something small, I can relate to this. Something small in my life seems like it's just taken over. That's what happens. What we love forms us, it directs us, and it controls us. And without divine intervention, we're going to be eaten alive. And I do mean divine intervention. You guys, come on, listen. Let's be honest, right? If we could have figured it out, we would have figured it out by now. Look, if you stack all the things, if you say, hey, give me all the knowledge, all the information, as much willpower as you can possibly, load me up with willpower, health, wealth, stack the odds in my favor, and I still won't get it all figured out. If I could, I would have already. If we could course correct on our own, we wouldn't need to be here. We need divine intervention. Be careful what you love most. It will eat you alive. It will direct your actions. It will direct your life. So here we are. Here it is. Without a miracle. The biscuits have been in the oven too long. Without a miracle, the compass, our navigational system, misguided, misdirected, and we can't get there on our own. We are lost at sea, my friends. We are wandering through a wilderness. The compass is broken. It's cursed. We don't have a guide to lead us back home. See, that's exactly where the Israelites were when these words were spoken. That's exactly where we have been. This is the story of our heart. It's the history of our heart. It's where the Israelites were when these words came through. It was a dark time. There was nothing coming through the system. No directional signs. They were in the dark. They were out at sea. They were lost. Are you tracking with me? They were out there with no hope. When these words came through, oh boy, hold on. Hold fast. This is what they needed to hear. This is what we need to hear today. If these words are not only spoken, they need to be fulfilled. Without that, all is lost. So here we go. Let's dig into it. Verse 25. The words we need to hold on to. The words we need to hear. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. Now, the idea of water purification was a common ceremonial process back then. I get that, I'm tracking with you. Whatever would be taking place that would cause you to be ceremonially unclean, maybe you touched something, maybe somebody was sick, and whatever it was, for whatever reason, you needed to be purified. You needed to be sprinkled with the water. Sometimes you need to bathe, need to be cleansed, and then you could enter the community, you could re-enter the community, you could enter, the priest would have to do this to enter into the temple and be in the presence of God. So this was a common concept. But listen, let's follow this out. Let's follow this through. What is the overall effect of the water? Well, it says you'll be clean. Your filth will be washed away. When something gets washed away, it is truly out of reach. It is beyond return. I'm growing up in the country, and when I was growing up, I was either working or playing all day. And when I came home, my mom was watching for me, okay? And there were times when she's like, you can't come in like that. And you cannot bring those clothes in. I'll leave it at that. That's got to stay out. I'm so dirty, caked on dirt, filth, whatever. And showering off, man, you just see all the grease, the grime, the mud, the blood, the grass stains, whatever it was from my day of work was slowly going down that drain, and I was being washed clean. And man, I was just, as I watched it go down, I'm like, this day is almost behind me. All the work that's happened is done. I'm starting to relax. It's beyond my reach. It's swirling down the drain. It's gone. There was something about that that just made me start to begin to rest. Like, okay, all right, the work is done. It's out of reach now. It's past me. I can go to the table. It's about to be dinner time. There's something about that that brings a rest. But there's something that's deeper that's taking place. The promise goes well beyond just getting cleaned off on the outside. See, if you follow it, it goes on to say that you'll no longer worship idols. What's going on here? Something deeper than water is at work right now. Something deeper is taking place. It's not just a cleansing that's going on the outside, but also the inside. Something is happening to lead my heart. So it's saying, hey, here's what's about to happen. You're about to turn your heart away from what you have put above and beyond me. That's what God's saying. There'll be a time when what you have misplaced, what you have put in your heart above me, will no longer be there. That's deeper than a shower can do. That's deeper than just a water cleanse. Something deeper is happening. Turning my heart away from what I've longed for the most, what I've trusted in the most, what I've attached myself to the most, and turning back to God is no small task, is it? It's no small task. How's that going to happen? Well, let's keep going. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. God realizes this is just like, I mean, maybe it sounds obvious, but he just realizes something that they don't. He realizes something, to be honest with you, that I don't want to admit. Maybe you have trouble admitting that there is a problem that I can't handle on my own. That I can't do it. And what he's saying is like, hey, you know what? You've been in the oven too long, buddy. Your heart's been in the oven, in the wrong place for too long. Something new has to happen. Something new has to take place. Not only that something new has to take place outside of my own power and outside of my own resources. That's the only way this is going to work because, you know what? It's eating me alive. I'm past the point of return. He says, I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Oh, man. Whew. You've been around. Be careful. I got to be careful. You've been around somebody whose heart is like stone recently? It's like you're talking to them. It's just like, it's just all falling. There's nothing. Nothing's happening. There's nothing. Nothing. You're like, I don't even know why. Yeah, sorry. Like, I don't even know why we talk anymore. You know, it's just like nothing's going through. You might even use the expression, without a change of heart, we're going to get nowhere. Maybe you're sitting there right now and you're like, man, I want a softer heart. Maybe you've been examining your life recently. Maybe the Spirit's been leading you even to the point of this service and you're thinking, man, yeah, I need a tender heart. There's some places in my life where it's just gotten too hard past the point of return. Now, I took first aid. I've actually taken it so many times, it's terrible to admit that I don't remember much of it. So don't pass out. I mean, well, if you do, don't look at me on your way down, okay? Just, I mean, like, uh-oh. But I do know, I do remember the basics, ABC, right? ABC, airway, breathing, and circulation. Airway, breathing, circulation. You've got to, somebody's down, they're out, you've got to check their airway first. You got to remember. Have you seen the diagram? You know, you're supposedly you put your finger in, and somehow you get whatever stuck in their throat out. You clear the passage because you could be trying to breathe into their. That's not even right. Come on. But you could try to breathe all day long, but if the airway's blocked, you're wasting your breath. Literally, and God's like, I don't waste breath. When I breathe, life happens. When I breathe, something miraculous takes place. So I'm going to get what's in the way out of the way and breathe new life. We're going to get that out of the way, and then we breathe. And then there's circulation and all that good stuff, right? And that is what he's at work on. I will take your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender one. Does that sound like something you could use right now? My garage is cluttered. Oh, gosh. I mean, actually, that's an understatement. Allie's like, yeah. I've got reasons. Don't we all? Yes. Yes, sweetheart. Don't we all? Helene. You know, I use that. I've been using that every month, ever since Helene. You know, it's like it. Chainsaws, things are everywhere. You can't get through the garage. You open the garage, I tell you, don't go in there. You cannot get through it. Could it be that our desires have collected, stacked up to the point that you just can't get through? It's eaten us alive, the stony, stubborn heart, arteries hardened, the vessels constricted, nothing's getting through. Nothing is getting through, and God says, hey, I've got a way. I will get that out of the way. Let me remove that. Let me give you a new heart. And now with that new heart, affections are redirected from the idols, from the misplaced desires, back towards God, back towards being with God and being for God and no longer being controlled by those things, those desires. He doesn't say, I'm going to destroy the desires. Sometimes those desires are good. They've just been misplaced. He's saying, I'm going to give you a new heart. And I will put my spirit in you. Now read the rest of it. I will put my spirit in you. This is really important. So that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. I'm going to put my spirit in you. There's a new power. There's a new presence. There's actually a new person now. He's saying it's going to be in you. A new power, a new presence, a new person, a new power. When we got married, we got a sailboat. We put this thing together one piece at a time. I mean, it was on a shoestring budget, 21 foot long. It was fast. It was really, that sounded southern. It was fast. Y'all, it was fast. It was fast. It was fast. And it had a little cabin, a small enough you could stay in it. And so our first trip out, and I do mean our first trip, like, let's go try this out. But let's try it out with the dog, and let's stay for 2 nights, and so let's bring everything, and let's go for it. Let's shoot for the moon. And so we, you know, that's what we did. So we get down there. Side note, I know what I'm doing because there's a pamphlet in a sail magazine, a how-to sail pamphlet. So don't worry. This all works out. I mean, it had pictures. And we are backing this thing in, and I mean, it's pretty quite a bit to work to get the mast up and get everything set up, and we're backing it out from the dock, you know, and the wind's just like storm's brewing. Waves are getting bigger, the wind is getting louder, it's getting crazier, it's getting stronger. I'm looking at wind not to sail, and it looks just like that. I'm like, let's just turn this. Maybe I've got this wrong. But wind, you need wind for the sails, right? So this is going to be okay. So we push off the dock, and we are being powered by a 2-horsepower Johnson little motor. It doesn't take much to move this, and the idea is you get off the dock, and then you motor out, and then you get into the open water, and you raise the sails, and boom, we're going to take off. It's going to be awesome. Except the engine dies. The engine dies, and the waves are pushing us back. Behind us is the levee. And the levee is just 20 feet high of riprap rock. So we are literally, do you make these stories up? No, it's going backwards. We're going backwards. Allie's like panicking. I'm slightly panicked, right? I mean, we were both like, what's going to happen here? I'm trying to pull the cord. I'm trying to get the motor started. Start. You got to raise the sails, honey. Okay, we've only practiced this in a parking lot at our apartment, okay? So the boat's just going up and down, you know, like, raise the sails, we're going to die, raise the sails. You know, Matey, let's go. Finally, we get the sales raise. And it was, I still remember it. If you're not a sailor, I'm sorry, but just go there with me, man. When these are big sails, too. When the wind fills these sails, it's a marvelous sound. It's like this, just this crisp. And that boat went from bobbing to sailing, to moving, to cutting through the water exactly the way it was intended to. And I experienced a power I never experienced before that day. I've been an outboard motor guy my whole life, trying to get them started to go out fishing. Now I'm seeing something new. I mean, like if I left a dock right now with a sailboat, I might not come back. That's how much I love it. I miss that boat. But the beauty of that was I have been introduced to this entirely new power that's well outside of my control. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And let me ask you this, though. Do you ever feel like you got it together? You're ready for life. You push off the dock and you have just enough to get yourself in trouble? You got it figured out, right? You've identified something in your life you want to see change. You've identified that part of your life. You're like, man, I'm going to make some headway. I'm going to make a resolution. You've identified a sin. Something's come to the surface, and you're like, I'm going to get that out of my life. And you come up with your plan. And you say, all right, I'm going to do it this time. And you push off the dock, and it works. Just like my outboard motor. It works. Until it doesn't. That's willpower. That's my power. That's your power. And you push off the docks, and you find yourself up against the rocks in no time. And you're just in this repetitive cycle, like, why can't this change? Why can't I see something new, experience something new in my life? Why do I keep coming back to the same place? Why am I stuck somewhere between the dock and the rocks most every time? It's because we're on our own power. We're leaning not on Jesus, but on ourselves. And that's why he says, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and obey my regulations. Now, here's what's crazy. Not that you just, he's not saying, I'm going to do this so you'll change, you'll be like me, you'll do this, you'll do this, you'll do this, you'll do this. I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to put my spirit in you. You're going to be led by something like you've never been led before, and it's going to be a delight to you. It's going to be wind in your sails. And now this is 600 years before Jesus comes. These words, if these don't come true, like I said, we are between the dock and the rocks. Thankfully, it has come true, and it's come true through Jesus. Jesus comes, and according to the Gospel of John, it says he comes and he dwells among us. He literally tabernacles with us. Jesus comes, and he's not just hanging out with people that are considered ceremonially clean. In fact, he's just the opposite. He's rubbing elbows with sinners. He's rubbing elbows with the best of us, the worst of us. He's in it. But he's not just here to dwell among us. See, he has come to dwell in us. He has come to dwell in us. That's his mission. He doesn't want to just dwell among us. He wants to dwell inside of us. I want to put my spirit in you. See, if we talk about heart, and we don't talk about spirit, I might as well just be giving you a motivational speech. It's like, let me give you a heart transplant and a six-pack and some cigarettes. Okay, so just so I'm figuratively, all right, let me just break that down. It's like saying, here's your new heart. Now you go do something with it. I got a new heart? Great. Let me push off the dock and prove what I can do. The heart without the spirit is no good, guys. It's just a fresh start. To do it again the same way I did it yesterday. I need the Spirit. I need the presence of the living God dwelling inside of me. He's basically saying, I'm giving you a new heart. That's the best place for my spirit to dwell. He's taken up residency, friends. It's not just a fresh start. He's taken up residency. He wants to dwell in us. Christ is dwelling in me. That is crazy, y'all. Christ is in me. Follower of Jesus, Christ is in you. You don't just have a new heart. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, Christ is in you. And we are being led from the inside out by Him. I will put my Spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees. You will follow me so that when I say follow me, you'll be like, that sounds like a great idea. That we will want to, not just feel like I have to do this. See, if you surrender and you let Him work from the inside out, these things that feel overwhelming to you, what God is saying, what God is speaking, it will become less and less intimidating, less overwhelming, less exhausting. It will become more of a delight to your heart. Let me just give you a good visual here, and let me set it up by this. You've heard this maybe before. Let me say it to you today. It's a good reminder for me. Hopefully it's a good reminder for you. I'm not even exactly sure who said it. I know it wasn't from me, but here's how it goes. Because of what has happened, this new heart, this new spirit inside of us, now we realize we're obeying not to be loved by Him, but we're obeying because we are loved by Him. Hear me say that. We're not obeying to prove ourselves to God. We're not obeying to earn favor with God. We're not obeying to say, okay, now will you love me, God? We are obeying because we are loved. Because we are loved by God, now our heart's desire is to walk in His ways. Rankin Wilburn wrote a wonderful book called The Union with Christ. Gives a great illustration as we wrap up. He's like, hey, American Idol. I don't know if you watch it, it's really popular, but here's the idea. Like it's awesome. Everybody's like trying to do their best. You're watching it, you're like, this is incredible. Meanwhile, everybody competing, it's nerve-wracking. Right? You miss one note and you could be out of the competition completely. Miss one note, one thing wrong, and you are out. Get it right, and you might win. And if you win, it will change the course of your life. It could potentially change the course of your life. Lots riding on this, right? So at the end of the season, the winner is announced. And when the winner's announced, they get the mic again. Now think about this. They're not singing now to prove themselves. They're not singing now and hopefully like I can earn the win, earn the title. No, they're singing now because they have won. They're not singing to win, they're singing because they have won, and they let it rip, right? They fit right at home in this barn. They're singing now, they're singing with all their heart, they're letting it all out. There's no pressure, there's just delight. And in that delight, what they're giving to those around them is benefiting their lives tremendously. That's a beautiful picture of what happens when the Spirit is leading our lives. We're not doing it in order to win. We've done it because He has won, and we can sing with our heart's delight. Romans 8 says, we are being now led by the Spirit. Galatians 5, we are walking by the Spirit. And this is beautiful, collectively, not just individually. Ephesians 2:22 says this, and in Him, you two are being built up together to become, talk together, us, to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. By His Spirit. So here it is, and there's a lot to all of this, but there's a lot more here. But what we could say in a nutshell is this, friends. He's found the barn. He's found this gathering. And He is saying, I have put my Spirit in Living Vine Community Church, in the people here, I've put my spirit in your heart so that you are led now by me. You are walking in the spirit. You're being led by the spirit. The words that I'm speaking don't feel like law. They feel like love. And together, he is growing this community. And so when we are being led by the spirit together, then we are looking around and saying, God, what do you have for us? And we say yes to whatever it is. When we're being led by the Spirit, we see around us what He's calling us to, and our hearts are like, yes, let's go. Whatever God has in store for this family of believers, this body, this community, may it be true that we are being led by the Spirit, that He has placed a new heart in us. But beyond that, it is a new Spirit. And that is what's powering us. That is what's leading us. That is who is leading us. Amen. So as we come to communion, let's celebrate the fact that this could only happen because of who Jesus is and what he has done. That he has in fact cleansed us of all sin. That the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. That he has made our hearts new. And now, he says, Paul says, for all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Children of God, the family of God, being led by Christ who dwells in us individually and as a community. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these truths. Thank you that your word has been fulfilled through Jesus, and we celebrate that today, and we thank you for all you've done. Amen.